Acts chapter number 16, another one of the messages I preached a few weeks ago on a broken heart, and I know the Lord led me to preach that, this is another one of those sermons. I don't know why, other than I pray it's used for God's glory. We're going to read a few verses. In the story, of course, Paul is at Philippi, and he and Silas are arrested and imprisoned for preaching the truth, and they're thrown into the innermost prison. Starting there, and we'll read verse number 22. It says there in verse 22 of Acts 16, "And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them," that's Paul and Silas, "when they laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house.'" Let's pray. Father, Lord, I love you and I thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, I just pray that, Lord, you use the message this morning. Lord, if someone needs to hear this morning, I pray they receive it, please. I pray that you'd also use the message to encourage and enable us to be a blessing to other people. That, Lord, you might, Lord, equip us to give people answers to their questions. Lord, we might see people get saved and delivered through you. Now, Father, we love you. Just take this message, please. In your name I pray. Amen. In America, 132 people take their own life every day in this country. In 2021, 1.4 million people in America attempted to take their own life. And America is really on the low end of statistics when it comes to people that take their own life. Across this world, 800,000 people per year take their own life. And I'm going to pause here and tell you this, that's not the answer. The devil ever lies to you and tries to convince you that that would make things any better, he's a liar. It only leaves far more worse hurt. But in this world, 800,000 people per year, and the top three countries in the world, and I only mention it because we need to pray for these countries, but the top three, number one is Estonia, number two is Russia, and number three is South Africa. Now, we have missionaries right now that we support and send out in Russia, and we have missionaries we support there in South Africa. They're there for a reason, because God loves those souls. God gave His Son so that people could go to heaven. And people without Christ have no hope in this world. They live in darkness. And their rates in those countries are almost double the rates in this country. And we have, I'll repeat it, 132 people a day that take their own life in this country. And in those countries, it doubles. You'll see, and you are seeing, those statistics increase in this country, because the more you get away from Christ, the more you get away from His Word, the more you get away from a just the preaching and the openness of the Word of God, the more darkness is going to overwhelm. That's why God has called us to be a light. Amen. But the devil, he lies. He tells people, as we talked about a little bit in Sunday school this morning, he tells people that they're alone. He tells people, which, by the way, loneliness is the number one leading cause of suicide. The devil lies and says you're alone, but my friends, you're not alone. God said He'll never leave you or forsake you, and you have people right here around you that love you. And we'll do our best to help each and every one. The devil lies to people and says their situation is hopeless. And because of a hopelessness, they will end up in a very dark place. And it's sad what the devil does. Since I've been pastor, I've had people that sat in a pew on Sunday and took their own life before the next week. Years ago, about 12 now, but a man felt alone and hopeless. And I remember we were down at Hope. We were just getting Hope started, and we were doing a Saturday kids ministry, and on the way back, got the phone call. You see, this isn't just an issue that's out there. It's an issue right here. People walk through our doors, and a lot of times visitors walk in because they're just trying to find hope. And they need to find a refuge at all of God's houses. They need to find a place where they can find hope and encouragement and strength and companionship and people that will show them what the answer is. And the answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil blinds people. The devil lies to people. I dealt this past week, and it really, other than to say it's God, I can't explain things, but God gave me the message and then had the message, and then I dealt with a young man this week. I called and I ran across Brother Doug this week on Thursday, and then I literally got out of the car just after speaking to this young man who said he wanted to take his life. And thankful, God got the victory in that story. Amen. But it's real. It's a heaviness that all of us should carry, that the people that we pass, you don't know what they're going through. In this passage, the Philippian jailer, matter of fact, our hearts should hurt for people. We need a burden for people. This jailer in the story, the Bible says he was going to take his own life. That's what he intended to do. It says there in verse number 27 that he drew out a sword and would have killed himself. But praise God, someone was there with the message of hope. We're about to enter our summer months, and we're going to meet on Wednesdays and do our best to go out and share tracts and gospel witnesses. And can I encourage you, if at all possible, to be here Wednesday nights? Because it might knock on a door. I've heard my dad tell stories. I've heard my grandpa tell stories about knocking on doors. And literally, a person had a gun sitting on the end table. But praise God, someone knocked on the door. People need hope. And there is hope. If you remember anything in this message, I want you to remember the title this morning is this: Do Thyself No Harm. Paul walked in and he said, "Do thyself no harm." The jailer had the sword in his hand. He had purposed already what he was going to do, but praise God, someone cared enough to say, "Do thyself no harm." Amen. Praise God, there was someone there who could give this man hope. Now I want to ask you a question this morning, and this is what the Lord gave me this week to share. So what brought this man to the point to where he was purposed to pull his own sword out? What brought this man to this point? Because what you'll find as we deal with people, and maybe someone here, God forbid, but if so, God understood and God had a message for you today to say it's okay. Right. Listen to the Word of God today. Right. I believe this will help us as we deal with people. What brought this man to this point where he's on his knees with his own sword out, about to take his own life? Just a couple things. Number one, first thing I thought of is this, according to verse number 27, I think he thought that he was a failure. He was a failure. The Bible says, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew out a sword. He thought he was a failure. You see, he had a task, and his job in life was to make sure those prisoners stayed in their prison cells. And he thought he failed. By Roman law, if a jailer did fail to keep his prisoners, the penalty was death. They were held liable. And he failed. He had let his authorities down. He had let his family down. He felt like a failure. And many times when people fail, it produces this thought in their hearts, and it's the devil lying to them that they're a failure. And this feeling of failure will leave people in a place where wicked thoughts can begin to run through their mind. Because the devil wants people to feel like they failed everything. The devil wants people to feel like they've let everybody down. And it leaves place then because we feel like we've missed someone's expectations. We think no one will look at us the same again. And because of this feeling of failure, it begins to overwhelm people. This is huge in pastors' children's lives. This is huge in missionaries' children's lives. It shouldn't be, but for some reason, you know, we want them to be some super... They're just kids. Now there's, you know, parental obligations, and I'm not belittling any requirements and things, but they're still kids. And the more people beat people down, I'm thankful. My wife has testified many times, and I echo it, because at a Baptist temple, I do not feel has ever done that to our three children, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that they are allowed to be our three children, and that they were kids. And when they do stupid things, they're just like everybody else's kids. They do stupid things, right? And we correct it, and we make sure it's... But listen, Mom and Dad, if you beat your kids down and always tell them they're a failure, if you always tell them they're losers, if you always tell them, the devil's going to take that and run with that and begin to implement these wrong thoughts into their life, to where pretty soon, why should I go on? Every one of us, and we've dealt with sin, we're all sinners. Well, sometimes people fall into pretty bad sin. Now, we're the one that kind of, for some reason, we rank our sins, right? But sin is sin. But there are some things we sin against our own flesh, with immoral sins and things like that, that sometimes being a failure. Again, I'm not even talking about the lost world yet. I'm talking about in our churches. So what happens if someone falls? We need to do our best to restore them. We need our best to reach out to them. You say, well, what if they won't receive? Well, the Bible says what to do if someone doesn't receive that reaching out. But even if it gets to the worst case scenario of a church discipline process, the whole purpose of church discipline is restoration. But sometimes people do things and they feel like, well, or their family goes through something and they feel like, I'll never be able to. My friend, you're in a room full of people that we've all sinned. We've all made mistakes. But praise God, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Sometimes people fail. Because of that failure, and unfortunately in the world especially, because it drives me crazy, it's getting worse and worse too. The other day I was standing in line, and it's a long story, but I won't even go into this story, but I was in White Castle, but not to get anything. I was just there because there was an employee who was excessively rude to my wife when she stopped in there, so I went to have a conversation with that employee, so, because that's what husbands do, amen? Well, I had my Kazadel hoodie on that said pastor on the back. I wasn't going to be foolish, right? But we had a conversation. But as I was standing in line waiting on the manager to come out, this dad behind me just yelling at his daughter. She's probably 6 or 7. Why can't you do anything right? Hold your cup with 2 hands. You're going to spill it. Oh, you're so stupid. That's typical life for a lot of kids out in the world. And he went on for 10 minutes. And these kids, they're raised in this world today where they just feel like they are failures. They get mad. And that's what the Bible talks about, fathers provoking their children unto wrath. And then the more wrathful they become and rebellious, the more of a failure they feel. And that's why 132 people a day, they feel like failure. They feel like there's no hope. I think this guy tried to do this because he felt like a failure. I wrote down number 2, because of humiliation. Shame. Guilt. There would be friends of his that knew what his job was, that the next day he was going to stand in front of them and say, they got away. I'm sure he didn't. Now understand this, I'm going to pause here. I believe this man was successful. This was a successful man. He had a good job. He had a job of authority. He had a job of power. He obviously had a family. I mean, he had, you know, a family, he had a good job, he had people respected him, he had authority. I mean, this was a successful man. And after what he thought had happened, there would be a whole lot of humiliation. He would have to stand by his peers and admit that he had failed. He would have to go before his authorities and say, you know, I they got away. He was going to have to go home and look at his wife and his kids. Say, I messed up. I fell asleep. It's this earthquake, but they got away. A lot of time people start thinking this way and accept these thoughts because they have gone through something to where they're humiliated. They've messed up to a point where they can't bear the thought of looking at their peers again. They can't bear the thought of looking at their spouse. They can't bear the thought of standing before their parents and admitting this. They can't stand the thought of going back to society and the people that they rub shoulders with and admit that these things happen. And because of this humiliation, he pulled a sword out. He let people down. He was a failure, humiliation. The third reason I wrote down is because he was in darkness. Verse 29 says, then he called for a light. He was in darkness. See, how do you know he was in darkness? Because he couldn't see anything going on. He couldn't see that the prisoners, they were still there, right? Spoiler to the story, right? He couldn't see that Paul and Silas hadn't escaped. He couldn't see that even though the prison doors were open, all the prisoners were still there. He was living in a place of darkness. And let me tell you, the devil will start putting these wicked thoughts in people's minds the longer they live in darkness. That is why we preach. By the way, the Bible says in 1 John, matter of fact, look there real quick. 1 John chapter number 1. Look, and then we'll go right back. 1 John chapter number 1. First John chapter 1, look at verse number 5 real quick. First John 1, verse number 5. First John 1, 5 says this. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is what?
Light.
And in him is no what? No darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Pause. You're not alone.
Amen.
When you're walking in the light, that feeling of being alone is removed because you're enjoying fellowship with one another. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The guiltiness is gone. The humiliation, the failure, it's all been forgiven.
Yes.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us if we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now I want to ask you a question this morning, and I just ask you to be honest within your own heart, please. Are you walking in darkness? Because according to that passage of Scripture, you can be saved and walk in darkness.
Yes.
Has nothing to do with where you're going in eternity. If you start living in sin and allowing things into your life, you will begin walking in darkness. Let me tell you some of the dark things the devil likes to bring. Witchcraft.
Yep.
Demonism. Y'all quit amening as much, you know, right? Entertainment. Music.
Yes.
Bar scenes. They're never really lit up, are they? You see, places that promote idolatry. And we could go, you say, yeah, I heard there's like, they're wanting to have, you know, if they're having Bible clubs in public schools, now they're wanting to have satanic clubs. And that's a true statement, what I just said. They are trying to do that. And that's absolute wickedness. But so is mom and dad taking your kids to places about witchcraft. I mean, that's what the Bible says. Witchcraft's an abomination. Some of the movies, Ouija boards, I mentioned music again. The devil knows music. He was created with pipes.
Right.
That's what the Bible says. He led in music.
Right.
That's what he was created. He knows what he's doing.
Yep.
And he'll use music to bring dark thoughts into people's lives. All these other lies that he brings, but what happens is this, people will begin to walk in darkness. Not just spiritually, but they isolate themselves. They sit in rooms. They feel like they don't fit anywhere. They feel like everything is just compassing them and engulfing them. And look at me. There's a group of people out there in this world that is saying, hey, we get you. Come here. You don't fit in. You're miserable. You don't know why. Let us set you free. And I'm directly talking about this sodomite crowd, this trans crowd, this... They're sucking people in under the guise of acceptance, under the guise of we understand you. Until something goes on in your life, guess who's not visiting you at the hospital? Guess who never reaches out to you when your life falls apart? Just like that prodigal son, there's a world that will suck you in and bleed you dry. And then when you're in need, forget you. And it leaves people walking in darkness. This man, back in Acts chapter 16, he was in darkness. He couldn't see anything. He couldn't look. You know what happens in darkness? That you can't see all that God is doing when you're in the dark. If we put you in a room somewhere with no windows, led you in blindfolded and took off that blindfold with every light out, I could have 10 people in that room, but if they're standing there and they're still and the lights are out, you'll feel so alone. But you're not. But that's what darkness does. You feel hopeless because you don't know a way out. There's no guidance. There's no direction in life. So you begin to spiral. That this man was in darkness. He was felt like in a failure. He felt like he was humiliated. I believe in verse number 29, also in Acts chapter 16, he was full of fear. Because the Bible says, he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling.
Yep.
Trembling. You ever been so afraid you literally shook? Maybe you had to get up in front of a bunch of people and speak, and you don't normally do that. I see it all the time. Graduations are coming up. There's always a senior or two that gives the testimony, and most of them have not done public speaking like that. And literally, I'll meet with them over there in the other building before we come over to graduate. And whoever's doing the speeches, they're literally going, right? Because they're scared. Scared. And we've all done that. I've also sat in emergency rooms and hospital rooms whenever the doctor said, I don't know what's going to happen, and they walked off to go treat the patient and the loved one sitting in there shaking. The fear. Just get through a car accident and went through this time of fear and your body literally reacts in this way. And there's unfortunately a lot of people that are living because of the darkness. They live in a state of fear. If you listen to me, God never gives the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Now, God gave us the emotion of fear. That's a good thing. There's a difference between the spirit of fear and the emotion of fear. All right? If you bring in a rattlesnake, I'm going to be filled with the emotion of fear. And God did that on purpose because He doesn't want me to play with it. Amen? Because it can kill you. All right? God gives us certainty. The emotion is good, but living in a spirit of fear, that spirit, it's a demonic acting in your life. It's just a darkness. Here's how it comes out. You're always waiting on the person to disappoint you. You fear they're always going to leave you. You fear they're going to let you down. You fear no one will accept you. You fear going to work. You fear, and you become so bound by fear you can't live your life. This man was literally trembling. And a lot of times our fear comes because of a situation that's out of our control. That's what happened here. I mean, what caused all of this? I know God did. I get that, right? But what caused all the prison doors to open and everything? It's an earthquake. They still happen, right? It's a natural. They call it, your insurance company calls it an act of God, right? It was out of his control, but it left him in fear. And sometimes, listen to me, things happen that are out of your control, and they leave us in a state of fearfulness. Technically, all those prison doors opening was not his fault. But he couldn't see that. Now, what I just told you is something I want you to meditate on for a second and get this, all right? What happened was out of his control. But he allowed it to leave him in a place of darkness, humiliation, failure, and fear. And sometimes we go through things and people go through things. When I talked earlier in the message about people that have been abused and hurt in terrible ways. And a lot of that leads to the very lifestyle that I've been describing to you this morning. And ultimately, if it's not stopped, it leads to where that jailer was with something in your hand, thinking of harming yourself. When the reality is, it wasn't their fault. It wasn't their fault that someone abused them in that such a way. It wasn't their fault that someone, but for some reason the devil fills our mind with all these lies that I've talked about. God's directed the message, so I hope you receive this. Even with matters of sexual abuse, and I think I've tried to share this with everybody, right? Did you know God made your body amazingly? Do you know, according to every scientist in the world, that every cell in your body is changed every 7 years?
Right.
Look it up.
Yep.
Every cell in your body is changed every 7 years. It's really cool because there's also a spiritual thing that with the Old Testament and such. But God made that.
Right.
So if we all live 7 more years, and I stand in front of you in 7 more years, every cell that makes up this body will be completely new. It's pretty cool. So what's that have to do with anything? Whoever someone hurts you or abuse someone, every 7 years, God, you get a clean slate there. The battle now, you can let go. You know, let's say that Joshua gives me a black eye, right? Everything about wherever he hurt me is gone in 7 years. You say, but remember he hit me right there. It's not even there anymore. Are you following that? It's not even there anymore. Yeah, but still, I know. But when you accept that fact, that that's gone, now the battle's all here. And now you can accept God's help. And you don't have to live with the failure, humiliation, darkness, fear. God can begin to set you free. I say this because there's people really hurting today. There's people out there that need help. They fear it's going to happen again. They fear they'll never be accepted. They fear they're going to be hated. They fear they're going to get sick again. I hate. There's so many diseases and stuff, right? We've heard more about it the last 2 years than we ever wanted to, right? I went to Children's Hospital this past week. If you're ever feeling bad about a situation you're going through, go walk through Children's Hospital.
That's right.
Yes. Some of these kids walking out of the cancer treatment, 7 years old, 6 years old. But there's some people, we go through things even sickness-wise that we live in fear, thinking, oh, it's going to happen again. Well, you can't live in fear. Well, it might, and it might. But I might walk out here and a meteor fall on my head too. You say, that's ridiculous. It might. You can't live in a what-if world. You have to live on facts. You can't live in fear. I believe fear causes. I believe, I got to wrap this up, feeling inferior brought this feeling. I tried to think of everything that might have went through this guy's mind. See, what do you mean, feeling inferior? Well, he'd never be a jailer again. That was his identity.
Right.
Still to this day, 2,000 years later, he's the Philippian.
Jailer.
You know he lost his job, right? He was a Philippian jailer. That was his identity. But he felt inferior when other, you know, hey, we'll call him Bob, because that's the name I always go by. Is there any Bobs in here? All right, good. Every time I go to it's not lying. Boy, if it is, I'm sorry. I always tell him, what's your name? Bob. No one's ever asked me how to spell it. It's really nice. All right, it is Bob. So here's Bob, the jailer, and someone says, hey, Bob, I want you to meet here. His name's Steve, right? He's a jailer. Ugh. I saw it coming. You all didn't see it coming, so. Yeah, right. All right, so just really simple, all right? Focus. That bird will not harm you, all
right?
Stay focused just a second. These guys will do what they can, all right? He felt inferior. He felt like he would never be able to... He lost everything pretty much he lived for. He, number six, I hope you stay with this, all right? Number six, I think sometimes people do such a things because of sicknesses and threats. You say, how, he wasn't sick. Well, according to the law, he was supposed to die. And I think he lived like his life was going to end. Would you look at a passage real quick? Let's keep you focused. Look at Job chapter number 6. Look at Job chapter number 6. Look at Job chapter 6. Look at verse number 8 in Job chapter 6. Job 6:8 says, "Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for." Don't we always talk about how great Job was, man of faith, right? Get this, right? "The thing that I long for," verse 9, "even that it would please God to destroy me, that He would let loose His hand and cut me off. Then should I yet have comfort. Yea, I would harden myself in sorrow. Let him not spare, for I have not concealed the words of the Holy One." That's not the Job we're used to, is it? What did Job say in these verses? Kill me. Right? Job said, "God, I just want to die." Everybody look at me, catch this next statement. Why did Job, why did he say, "I just want to die"? Why did he say, "God, everything would be better if I was just gone"? Why did he say it? Everybody look at me. Because he didn't know the end of the story. Amen? If he only knew the end of the story, the words would have never came out of his mouth. Amen? Don't get upset when you hear someone say things like that. They're going through a dark time. But listen to me. Oh, that they just knew the end of the story. Job got everything he ever wanted. And more. Because God didn't answer his prayer. Amen? Just take me. I want to die. God said, "No, Job. You don't understand what I'm going to do in this situation." Isn't that awesome? Isn't that glorious? Sometimes we want to give up hope because we don't know the end of the story. Let God work. He can do amazing things. I'm going to wrap this up real quick. We all know what happened then. Paul came in and said, "Do thyself no harm." Listen to these statements. I'm going to close in prayer. Listen to these statements. Number one, this is a guy who wanted to take his own life, and I want you to listen. What the jailer thought wasn't true. I've probably dealt with getting close to 100 people now since I've been pastor. That's made these phone calls. And what they have to get is this: what you're thinking, not all of it's true. He had, now look at me, he had no reason to harm himself.
Right?
You see, but the prisoners, he was still there. But his family, they're still there. Matter of fact, things are about to change in that family. But his peers probably respected him more than they ever had before, because he went through an earthquake and didn't lose anybody. His authorities were about to be very proud of him. Sometimes, and when people are in this state, what the jailer thought wasn't true. And secondly, what the jailer assumed wasn't true. How he thought it was going to end was not what God intended. And I love this. Look at your passage here. We're all done. Paul cried in verse 28, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Verse 29, "Then he," that's the jailer, because he fell down before Paul and Silas, "he did what in verse 29? Called for a light." Isn't this awesome? The light was already there. He just had to reach out for it. Isn't that great? He could have had it the whole time. The light was available the whole time. Listen, if you're in this state today, if you know one in this state, if you're listening to this sermon 10 years from now and you're in this state because you did a Google search, praise God it led you here. Your lies can be very deceptive. Your thoughts can be very deceptive. And what you assume is going to happen doesn't mean it's going to happen. And there is light if you'll just reach out for it. And praise God, there was a preacher, a couple of them, that was standing right there. Because the two things that changed that man's life was the light and the Word of God. Do thyself no harm. What must I do to be saved? Amen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And thou shalt be saved. When he came to a point where he wanted help, and he allowed a light to be shared with him, and he listened to the words of God, Amen. Everything changed in that man's life. I don't have time. I got to close today. But read John chapter number 1. Let's at least read that one, right? John chapter 1. I get an extra 2 minutes because a bird flew through, right?
Amen.
John chapter number 1. Look at this. John 1, verse number 1. John 1, 1. Book of John, verse 1. Chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life,
Amen.
And the life was the light of men.
Yeah.
And the light shineth in darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. Now John, he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Amen.
Listen to me. He'll take away the darkness.
Yes.
And he'll give you life. And that life is the light of men.